Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply. Listen.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat. I'm Damon Hatfield. I will be your guest host this week. You may recognize me from such podcasts as GameScoop. We'll see what I can do with a podcast that focuses exclusively on Nintendo. If you listen to GameScoop, you know we're all Nintendo fans over there. Joining me on the show this week are Janet Garcia.
What's up?
Seth Macy.
Hello.
And Zach Ryan.
Scoop.
It's Scoop. Scoop as well. Let's see. I hope I don't let anybody down here. I haven't hosted a Nintendo Voice Chat. I may have done it like one other time in my time here at IGN. I do think we've got a pretty good show for you put together this week. We got to talk about a new Switch firmware update that's just come to the Switch console. But first, of course, next week is the Game Awards. Lots of people tune into the Game Awards for new game announcements and trailers. So it's time to sort of share some predictions and hopes and dreams for what Nintendo announcements might be coming for us next week. There is a precedent. Nintendo has typically had something to share at the Game Awards in the past. Last year it was Bravely Default 2, which is still forthcoming. That one's coming February 26th next year.
I can't
wait. You're a Brave.
So excited.
Defaulters?
I'm a defaultist. Yes.
That sounds horrible.
I haven't played either of those games, but I bet I would like them.
Actually. They're very charming and fun.
So there's Bravely Default and what the second
Bravely
one
Second.
Second.
Bravely Second.
And Bravely Second continued the story of the first one, but then Bravely Default 2 was something totally new, right?
Bravely Default 2 is the sequel to Bravely Default. Bravely Second was just the follow-up to...
Well, that's...
it's all clear now.
It's all, yeah, it all makes... It's right there in the title.
In 2018, they revealed Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, big exclusive for Nintendo Switch, of course, and they revealed that Joker will be coming to Smash, Joker from Persona. 2017, they revealed Bayonetta 3. What the heck happened to Bayonetta 3? Mm. Where is that
hanging game? Out with Metroid Prime. The Metroid, yeah. The next Metroid game.
Well, we'll talk about Metroid Prime in just a second. And also Link on a motorcycle in that Breath of the Wild DLC. Right. And then going back to 2016, 2015, we had Breath of the Wild gameplay and trailers. So next week, next Thursday, I believe, the same day as Cyberpunk. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Big day.
Maybe while Cyberpunk is installing, you can check out check out Game Awards. Janet, want to start with you? Any sort of any predictions for Nintendo at the Game Awards next week?
I'm starting to fall into the idea of there being weird Fortnite crossover stuff. I know Nintendo is a little bit like finicky with their IPs and who they let use them, but we have seen them do things that I think felt a little uncharacteristic with like Cadence of Hyrule and other elements where we see people taking on Nintendo characters and like including them in their games and in ways that kind of felt unexpected, to the point where I feel like it's no longer that out of character anymore. And we just heard about, you know, Kratos in Fortnite. I believe there's been like kind of a leak that Master Chief might be there. There might be a Halo thing going on. And a lot of people are saying like, okay, well, we have like, if we're thinking of aligning the big three, which would also be really funny when you consider like that moment where all like the big three came out and they're like, oh, games are great. And everyone's like, wow, can't believe they can stand next to each other, which was really weird. Cause I'm like, y'all realize that they're just like business people. Like, it's not like a, you know, this is like a Tupac Biggie situation. Like y'all taking this way too deep. But that was
Reggie
like
Fils-Aimé was a hologram actually.
Right. Yeah. Who could forget his iconic Coachella performance? But people really like that. And I think it was part of celebrating that, hey, Game Awards were about celebrating games of, you know, all platforms and all genres. So in Fortnite, it's been such this like unifying kind of force for these things that I could see a Nintendo thing appearing in that. So that's probably my biggest Nintendo prediction at this point.
I guess it was 2 years ago that what was Reggie, Phil Spencer and I forget the former Sony head were all on stage together at the Game Awards. Was that 2 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's interesting to think about Nintendo characters in Fortnite. Sorry, I'm wrestling with a cat here.
As you should.
But it just seems like there are guest characters and crossovers in Fortnite happening just constantly now. There was just like Galactus, right? So I don't know. I don't play Fortnite. But I mean, like Seth, you're like
you should.
Well, I mean, no, I shouldn't. That's not a knock against Fortnite. It's just Damon Hatfield should not play Fortnite.
I could easily see like Link coming into Fortnite as like one of the hero characters where, you know, you get
give Link a gun,
find him somewhere on the map. And well, that's the thing about the hero characters, right? Like there's definitely a Nintendo brand guideline where they're like, Link doesn't use a gun. Like Link can't use a gun, but he can use a bow and arrow. And if you have him as a power up for a set amount of time, I could see him dropping into Fortnite and, you know, building some forts, shooting his bow and arrow. I think it would work.
He is crafty.
That's
yes.
Also true.
Very.
Seth, what do you think about Nintendo and Fortnite?
I think anything is possible. They did just release the Fortnite Wildcat Bundles limited edition Switch as a Cyber Monday secret drop that was previously only available in Europe. And it was extremely popular. It was one of the best-selling items through IGN deals of Cyber Monday. So yeah, I mean, that might have been like the warm-up, like, hey, by the way, here's Kirby, and he sucks up his foes in Fortnite.
Ooh.
Kirby would be an odd choice.
I know, that's why I like it. That's why I'm going for it. You heard it here first, folks.
Zach, let's address the elephant in the room. Any chance of a Breath of the Wild 2 something or other next week?
I mean, maybe. I feel like Nintendo has, you know, like you mentioned at the top of the show, but Nintendo's used the Game Awards to showcase some serious Breath of the Wild stuff. They did a lot of they showed first gameplay there. They showed the DLC there. So you know, I feel like there might have been a time when Nintendo was closer with the Game Awards. I think Reggie played a big part in that. However, anybody's guess as to what they could possibly show here. I would love to see more Breath of the Wild 2, anything. But if I had to put my money on it, I would say that whatever they're going to announce at the Game Awards or whatever they might show at the Game Awards might be on a little bit on a smaller scale this year. I think Nintendo has had sort of an off year, and I think eventually down the line we'll learn what was going on behind the scenes at Nintendo during 2020. But I feel like a lot of their plans were sidelined this year, just given, you know, the relative lack of information about some of their bigger games, and I think they just kind of had an off year. So I kind of expect an off announcement if they're going to announce anything at the Game Awards.
So what might be like an off announcement or a smaller announcement?
I mean, I kind of like this Fortnite speculation. Yep. That seems like something that could definitely happen. But also, I don't know, I could see something smaller scale, like something akin to like the announcement of a game like Age of Calamity, right? Like a spin-off game or something like that. I don't necessarily know what. I don't have a clear idea of what that is, but something along those lines.
Janet, what do you think? Breath of the Wild 2 trailer, is it time?
I mean, it's interesting because like the trailer wouldn't necessarily mean that it's like just about to appear, because Breath of the Wild 1 was like famously delayed quite a bit. But at the same time, I don't think that's ever intentional from any studio. I don't think they show stuff like, as in, oh, we're not going to have anything for like 7 years or anything crazy. So I am not confident that Breath of the Wild 2 is close to ready. So I would lean on no, but I do think it'd be kind of an easy win because everyone likes Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was considered a masterpiece at many outlets, not just our own. And, you know, to Zach's point, Nintendo has had a really, I'll be honest, it was a wacky year. Like I had some fun, you know, I got this jacket. I got like my little Game & Watch. I did the Mario Kart Live. Like there was fun to be had. But when, you know, I was thinking about how we're preparing for our own like notables for our own Game Awards or notable like games of the year, and looking at like the Nintendo things that we're like currently like ruminating on, I'm like, wow, there's not a lot of like real bangers coming from Nintendo specifically. There's been a lot of fun experiences on Switch, but not a lot from Nintendo themselves. So I think it'd be a nice easy win, but I'm not convinced that they're going to do it, just because I'm not sure how close we actually are to Breath of the Wild 2. I don't think we're terribly far away, but I don't know if we're close enough for them to kind of open up that door for themselves.
I feel like a broken record at this point, but I don't think we're going to see any further Breath of the Wild 2 news until they're ready to talk about like a concrete release date, and honestly also when they're ready to talk about the Switch Pro. I firmly believe that Breath of the Wild 2 is a Switch Pro launch title, and that they're not ready to show any more of that game or talk about it until they can say like, and it's going to come to Switch Pro and the release date is this.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Switch Pro later on the show. Seth, what about, I think the other big one is Metroid Prime 4.
Oh my God. give it to us now. Even if it's a release window coming 2022.
Still to date, all we have is, you know,
a title screen and
a little crackly screen, right?
Yeah. Just any news, and then be like, but in the meantime, you know, I think I've said this a million times, but in the meantime, be like, but now you can go to the eShop and download the Metroid Prime trilogy for your Nintendo Switch or Switch Lite, you know, and yeah, just give us some Metroid
for a limited time,
until March 31st, 2021.
Yeah, I rescind my earlier statement. Like, I think I would like for the announcement to be like a Metroid Prime 4 cinematic trailer, and then this like 1-2 punch of, and the trilogy is available now. Like, if that was the Game Awards announcement this year from Nintendo, that'd be a home run in my book.
I think too, though, we have to remember that like there's no need to like have an ace up your sleeve for the Game Awards. Like the Game Awards, yes, it's true. Like we've seen, even like, you know, Dan mentioned at the top of the show, what we've seen historically from Nintendo. And if we think on the wider spectrum, what we've seen from other studios or other publishers and developers as well. But the Game Awards, it's interesting and like fun when there's some news from it. And like, yeah, but you get stuff like DLC, a character in a game that you already know. It's, you don't really need to like wow anybody. Like, I think they showed off Breath of the Wild 2 at E3, one, because I'm sure that it's hopefully in a reasonable window time span for that. You know, that wasn't the case for Metroid, right? But like one of the reasons they did that is because for E3, you gotta like bring something big. Like it is the big show. Everyone's looking at it. Everyone's expecting it. And, you know, that's why we talk about, you know, who won E3. Did they like how they do at E3? What do you grade E3? Like that is why we analyze it that way. Like versus the Game Awards, we never really have that conversation after the fact. Like, it's fun to make these predictions now, but we don't go back and say, did Nintendo have a good Game Awards? I mean, we might talk about what they won or how they did, but we don't necessarily put weight on whether a developer or publisher has much to show, because the Game Awards is really just about ads and also awards. And then on the side, it's like, we'll throw in like a performance from a washed band, or like
you say, washed band. It's like Eddie Vedder. How dare you?
You know,
I mean, last year Green Day performed, and I was in the room, and I've rarely seen an audience more bored than when Green Day performed. And as like a 13-year-old punk rock fan, that really hurt my feelings. But Janet, I have to disagree with you a little bit in terms of like your statement about, you know, wowing folks from the Game Awards. I think that the Game Awards, especially like talking about it internally at IGN, we staff that up as though it is a press conference from E3 because of the amount of news that comes out of it, because of the announcements. And just like taking a quick glance at last year, we got our first look at the Series X last year. We got our very first look at a PlayStation 5 title in Godfall. Games like Final Fantasy VII Remake and Cyberpunk 2077 got huge new trailers. Like it is an opportunity. And like, I think last year was a bit of an anomaly because there were a lot of smaller announcements, but in previous years, huge games have been announced. Huge trailers have been dropped. Huge like first looks have happened at the Game Awards. I do think that developers and publishers look at the Game Awards as a sort of late year opportunity to double down on the stuff that they revealed at E3, or show us completely new stuff as like the first part of their press beat. What are you doing over there, Seth? You doing a little chapstick?
It's dry down here. Come on, man.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, I do think that the Game Awards is one of the bigger news beats of the year.
That's true. But to Janet's point, you know, after the Game Awards are over, we don't grade individual publishers. Like we don't expect every big publisher to have something to deliver.
I think it's less of like publisher by publisher basis at the Game Awards, and more of like sort of an overall look at what a bunch of different folks are doing, right? Like, yeah. Whereas E3 is like, how did Square do? How did Sony do? How did Nintendo do? Any one of those companies could have some major announcement at the Game Awards. Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I think is fairly likely. There's a couple Nintendo Switch games that have release dates in the new year, like Super Mario 3D World and what's Bowser's what? Bowser's something? Does anyone remember that? With
Bowser's Inside Story.
Bowser's Inside Story, yeah. Anyway, there's additional content for this port of Super Mario 3D World, and we haven't seen that yet, right?
Oh, so, yeah. Fury. It's called Bowser's Fury.
Bowser's Fury, yeah.
Real mad Bowser.
We could see a trailer for that. And then there's also Monster Hunter Rise coming in March.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is also going to be a Nintendo Switch exclusive. Mm-hmm. Just a couple quick hits. I know there's release dates that we're waiting on. This could be the sort of smaller reveal that Zach was talking about. Waiting on a release date for Apex Legends on Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. That will, you know, that's almost 2 years.
Forgot all about that. Wow.
That game's almost 2 years old now. Still waiting for the Nintendo Switch version. Axiom Verge 2 has been announced for Switch. Don't have a release date for that. And then there's Maneater, which is a game that I had a lot of fun with this year, even though it's totally janky and busted. Yeah. That one's out on all other platforms, supposedly still coming to Switch in 2021. That level of game, that sort of like mid-tier game, you know, could be a good reveal for. Yeah, Shark Game. I like that one. Any other predictions or hopes for Nintendo at the Game Awards before we move on?
They're going to blow the doors off it. That's my prediction. And I'll explain it offline.
What?
Ooh, is this like, are you teasing your Twitter account right now?
No. I'm just saying, I really, basically, Nintendo is definitely, they haven't lost any sales, but they're losing mindshare to the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. Even though it's still going to be the top selling console this Christmas season, only because you can get it, that won't carry on into next year. So they've got to have, they do have to have an ace up their sleeve at this point. I mean, that might be down later on at, you know, E3, but right now, all anybody wants is a PlayStation 5. All anybody wants is a Series X. They can't get them, and they're going to forget about Nintendo as soon as they can.
Mm. Well, so do you think the ace up their sleeve is the Switch Pro or whatever?
I kind of do, because I don't know if you remember, but I predicted the Xbox Series X. I pulled it completely from thin air. I said, I bet you they have a $299 one that they try to win Christmas with. And then they did. And it made me look like this, you know, great analyst.
A real,
like,
Seth Stradamus, if you will. That's
Seth Stradamus.
So yes, I think Switch 2 or Switch Pro will be the announcement.
The SSD on that's going to be wild.
It's going to be, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Quantum. It's going to be a quantum computer.
Yeah, no, it's actually going to be the most powerful console on the market. This is a joke, by the way.
And
I don't want anyone
to
think
smallest.
That I'm that dumb.
Very easy right. to lose.
I like it.
Yeah, well, the most powerful and the smallest somehow.
That's interesting because, you know, like Zach mentioned, we did get the Series X reveal at the Game Awards last year. But I don't know. I kind of imagine Nintendo would want to have that announcement completely to themselves.
At an 8 o'clock surprise Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That feels a little bit more right to me. Okay, there's a new Switch firmware update. I think it went out like over the last week or so. Some handy new features. Now there's a Nintendo Switch Online icon added to the home menu. And I was looking at this earlier today. You can go in there to launch directly into like two-player Super Nintendo games, I guess. Is anyone else taking a look at this?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think you'll actually use that?
No, like I brought my Switch here just to be able to look at it offhand. And I honestly haven't used that feature very much at all. Like the kind of like online, one, the online capability of those old games, and two, the old games themselves. But that's just how I am with these services. And I think a lot of gamers, if they're being honest, are like, I'm not necessarily playing like all the games with gold. They're all like the PS Plus games,
yeah,
or all the Game Pass games, or all the Apple Arcade games. But I have them there because I like to think that one day I'll be better. And I hold on to that hope with dear life. So interesting feature. I do wonder if it means that we're going to see them like using this more or like adding more to it, because like it has such a prominent space on what's a very simplistic UI. It sort of suggests that this is supposed to be maybe a little bit more of a focal point for them. So that just gives me hope that the service could be.
This year I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with like Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices, because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
More, you know, layered or fleshed out, though. Once again, how much am I even going to use that regardless? Maybe not that much, but it doesn't mean that I don't want it still to be a good and competitive service for them.
Yeah, to me, I wonder if Nintendo is just trying to push more subscriptions to its online, to sort of like surface it to more people, make it more visible.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Because if you're already subscribed to it, I don't know how useful that is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's also a new feature. You can now automatically download backed up save data to multiple systems.
This rules.
Okay, so explain.
I just think it's awesome that they're making backed up save data more accessible. Like, I feel like that's been sort of a... Go ahead.
How do you make it automatic with multiple systems?
I don't know. I haven't had an opportunity to take a look at this, but maybe it's something where like you just choose what systems automatically get those backups, right? Like if you have a Switch Lite and you only play, Animal Crossing on your Switch Lite, maybe those you can opt in on that kind of thing and automatically have those saves backed up there, you know? Hmm.
There's a new trending feature. We can see what games are popular among your friends. Mm-hmm. Probably Animal Crossing. They're making it easier to transfer screenshots and videos from the album to smart devices.
That's awesome.
That is the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think but it doesn't go through the app, which is weird. Like, there's a Nintendo app, but it's like done differently. Go ahead, Zach.
I think the share feature on all three systems, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox, is not great. Like, there's still little quirks about each of them that are a little bit annoying to try and get, you know, like on my Xbox Series X, like I'm trying to share a video or a screen grab and I have to go through OneDrive through Microsoft to get that stuff. Like, it's like, what the hell? And Switch also has like an annoying thing where it's like, I've wanted to download or upload, multiple images or, you know, things like that. And I feel like that has been a pain before. So I'm all for making sharing stuff easier. Like, I think that this is a smart move on their part.
Yeah, for sure. You can also use a USB cable now to connect your Switch to your computer to transfer screenshots, which is like that's the way to have the most control over how you share them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, new user icons for Mario's 35th anniversary were added. I was taking a look. That's cool, but like I don't check in on the icons that often, they're not being like surfaced. It's like, here's some new ones. So I couldn't really tell at a glance which ones were new, but more icons, always appreciated, right?
Yeah. I still wish they'd let you upload your own photos as your
it's a little tricky.
That'll never happen. It's Nintendo.
Everyone has to be like, oh, that's Blathers, aka Zach Ryan, or whoever your face is, Zach. I don't even know if we're friends on Switch, actually.
But it's so annoying because, like, you know, you could have your me and the name Seth, but there might also be another guy that I'm friends with named Seth that has a slightly different me. It's like, who is this person? Like, I don't know which one is which. Like,
yeah. You can only be friends really with one Seth at a time.
That's the solution. That's definitely easier than just fixing the problem. What I really want is them to have like something like a share your real name option, which like PlayStation has that. If not, like, even though I'm sure some people use this for like mean reasons, maybe, but like a way for me on my end to like edit it so I could write like, you know, I could add Zach IGN so I would know which Zach it was or something like that. Just like, even on my own end, because I end up having like, you know, six Sarahs and eight Davids, and I don't know, I just surface these very random names, and it's like, I don't really know where I'm sending this. Like, who am I mailing this to in Animal Crossing? I don't know. I'm just sending it to random people. It's frustrating. I love this USB cable thing though for the screenshots, because I definitely have used that for getting screenshots off my Switch. Like, have used like my computer, and before that, you'd have to take out that super fragile micro SD card that you just know you're gonna break, cut off part of the chip. Like, it's just way too much work. I honestly would just end up docking it to an Elgato and taking the screenshots from the screenshotting the screenshot.
I was maybe done through capture device would make it easier, but
These are cool. I love a good firmware update that actually has concrete things, because I am a nerd for UI and like these little features. So we'll see. Are we going to get themes? Still no themes.
Dude, you're so right. Like, I was just looking today when I was looking at the icons. I saw themes in the menu. I was like, oh, let's check out the themes. It's just black or white. Those are the themes, or light or dark. That's it. It's like, come on. Nintendo is like, out of all three platforms, they're the one that could have like the coolest themes.
Yeah. Totally.
And then also, does everyone here have a PlayStation 5? Has everyone spent time with the PlayStation 5? It's like the activities on PlayStation 5. That's such a Nintendo thing. I wish Nintendo would have adopted that, you know, first. It's just like, yeah, building in little activities, you know, meta games into your games, able to like launch directly into a chapter of a game or a level and complete a certain activity, telling you how much time you have left in level. These seem like very Nintendo things. I'm surprised that Sony got there first.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Seth, I hear that the Game & Watch, the Mario Game & Watch has been hacked.
The Mario Game & Watch has been hacked, and that doesn't really surprise me. You know, the YouTuber is named Stack Smashing, and he's a very charming hardware hacker.
Yeah, I hacked. It was me.
Janet hacked hers.
Everybody shut him off. Oh, hell yeah.
If you don't have it within arm's reach, what are you even doing? How
do you know what time it is? Right.
Trying to think if I have any. I have this Snap Console Wars Snap bracelet.
Perfect.
Boom. So who's winning now?
Snap out the competition.
Anyway, what does it mean that the Game & Watch was hacked?
Well, the good news is it's been hacked, so now people are trying to figure out how to like put emulators and stuff and all kinds of fun things on it and play around inside. The bad news is I can't really speak to this authoritatively, but I don't think any of us in this podcast are going to be doing it because it requires some hardware hacking. Because it turns out the USB connector, that USB-C, there's no data lines to the process of it. It's strictly for power. So to actually hack it, you have to get your tri-wing screwdriver out, open it up, do some, you know, some testing in there, solder in some leads. It's in very, very early like hacking development, because first of all, there's only 1 megabyte of RAM to this thing. Wow. Yeah. So the hacker, it's Ghidra Ninja on Twitter, Stack Smashing on YouTube. He ran Doom on it, which was, you know, you have to run Doom on a hack piece. Right. But it was like this really pared down, like absolutely textureless version because of the bottleneck there with a 1 megabyte of RAM. But, you know, it's just a very simple little piece of hardware, you know, considering. So yeah, it's still unraveling. There's still a lot of people in the hardware hacking community. They're kind of all working together to sort of figure out the next thing. What the next thing is basically removing that 1 megabyte of RAM and putting in 64 megabytes of RAM so that it'll be able to run more things. But you know, he on his YouTube channel, he shows he's running Super Mario Brothers 3 on it. You know, he's running the usual NES sort of stuff, but it's really interesting. I love watching hardware hacking, and I love when people figure these sorts of things out. It is nowhere near the level of where I'm going to be able to hack. And I don't think, especially with that USB not having any data to the processor, I don't think it's going to be something like with a Super NES Classic where you can just, you know, plug in a USB stick and then all of a sudden, oh, I have every Super Nintendo game now. How wonderful is that? But it's really cool and interesting, and, you know, right up my alley. It's like that portable Wii that guy built, just sort of thing I love.
Well, you got to link me to the portable Wii.
They sell a kit. It's like $350. You have to cut an actual Wii. Somebody figured out how to cut the PCB of a Wii where you won't destroy it, but it'll fit inside inside of this case that you can just walk around like this big fat Game Boy that plays Wii games. And GameCube.
What do you do about the motion controls, like the Wiimote and stuff?
I don't think they took that into consideration, or maybe you just move.
Can you
it
imagine
around?
They got to the end of the project? Oh my god!
Oh, the whole point of the system. What was I going to say? They already hacked the Xbox Series X and S to run emulators, and they're running Nintendo 64 games on them.
Yeah, it's exciting. GameCube Dolphin emulator and all kinds of PlayStation 2. Yeah.
And that's interesting because, like, you know, RetroPie. It has a really hard time with like 64-bit, even like PlayStation 1 games. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
To think of the power of the Xbox Series X being used to emulate Nintendo 64. Japan's Super Nintendo World theme park has an official opening date, a little bit earlier than I expected. That is February 4th, 2021, which is a little bit interesting. I don't expect the worldwide pandemic to be over by February 4th, 2021, but they're going to go ahead and open.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. But we actually got some photos. One of our correspondents in Japan got to go to the park. I don't think Daniel got to ride any rides, but he got to take photos of the rides. Oh, and it's looking pretty cool. There's a giant Bowser statue. Have you guys seen these photos?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
I never stop seeing them. Just I close my eyes and go to sleep.
They're
and
just always there.
I dream of these photos.
Yeah, it's tough because like in a normal year, you know, we'd be planning on sending you know, IGN correspondents there for the opening in February. Wow. Check all that stuff out.
I'll go as late as they need me to.
Yes,
go.
I will too. I put my name. Called it. Callsies.
Yeah, we we all called it a long time ago, even though that's a very dibs for very expensive work trips. Doesn't really work the same as like shotgun in a car, but we'll see what happens.
Oh, well, my question is, those earlier leaked photos or like leaked videos, were those real? Because they always looked super fake to me. Like they looked too
even the final product, they released a handful of like official photos. And the sort of wide shot of the park itself, even that, I'm like, that looks computer generated. Is that real?
Okay.
Is that really what this park looks like?
Yeah, it looks so good. It looks too good. It's suspicious.
Like, oh, man. Okay. I'm very excited someday.
I think it was Chris Hayner who works for GameSpot and is like a major theme park dude, was posting about the construction at Universal Studios Hollywood for their Super Nintendo World. And I think he was saying that is actually a much bigger Super Nintendo World.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I will take this opportunity to remind the panel here and also everybody listening that Pear has already told me that I could go to Super Nintendo World. He said he would pay for that trip.
He didn't tell me that.
Wow. Thank you, Pear Schneider. Yeah, very generous of him.
He definitely said it. Yeah. He just forgot. You know how Pear is. It's not Pear Cross. It just goes right through his mind.
Yeah,
this looks super cool. Like, I'm getting like, I don't know if it's actually gonna look this good, but you know, Disney's notorious for having just like really great attention to detail. And like, I'm really excited by like the care that seems to have gone into this. Like, I'm looking through the photos now and they even have like the glowing on the wheels from like Mario Kart 8, where you kind of can go like upside down and stuff like that, which is also a really cute addition, because like the big thing in that game was like that kind of zero gravity going like loop-de-loop all around the tracks and everything. So that makes sense for like a coaster of some sort that is like a Mario Kart thing. But yeah, everything looks cute. I feel like I just want to spend all my money buying probably what doesn't taste that good, but I just want to buy everything in the Mario Cafe. I'm trying to have these, like, let me drop $18 on a gross drink right now. Like, I'm ready to go.
A Mario theme park in Japan. I bet you that stuff tastes pretty darn good.
I bet it tastes real good.
I mean,
You know what I'm really excited about is to touch a flower and be able to shoot fire out of my hands. That's going to be
finally. Let me ask you guys this. So this park is opening what, February 4th? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. My son's birthday, so we're going to go there to celebrate.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
So that raises some questions here. What do you guys think of a theme park in 3 months, given the current climate in the world? Like, I'm not.
That's why I was surprised.
Speed on what? As far as I know, I don't think is. But also, like, that Mario Kart ride has like AR headsets and like buttons that you're pressing and stuff. Like,
and you have to spit at each other the entire time.
Yeah, right.
To get points.
Well, my concern there is like it's going to be such a miserable sort of user experience at first because of the amount of like scrub down they're gonna have to give between every ride. Like, as people get off of that ride, they're gonna have to like dip that whole coaster in bleach before people get on it.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna be really rough, man.
For sure. I think there's also concerns with, and I know Japan has like different protocols in place than like the US does, but in terms of like people wanting to go and trying to go, like I do think there's stuff in place to help offset that, but it's just, yeah, it's not a good time. No one should be going to any theme park. I know there's like some, at least one of the Disney theme parks is open. I think Disney World, right? In Florida.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because it's in Florida.
Florida.
But yeah, don't, you know, all hype aside, like, I'm very excited for the existence of this. Like, I love Nintendo. I think theme parks are really fun. I love to waste my money on Nintendo garbage. So I'm very excited, but I would never, ever ever go to this, given the state of the world right now. Even if it was in the US, even if I was offered to do it for work, I probably still would. I might actually say no, because I just still think it's really dangerous and irresponsible to be doing anything that is outside of what you absolutely need to do. So, you know, everyone should stay safe. And at some point, hopefully we can go, even though it doesn't shut down before then.
You hear that? Oh, it's angry commenters storming into the comment section.
I know. Right, God forbid. I tell you now. I'm like, please don't die. And they're like, I just don't see where all the hostility is coming from.
Here they come.
But yeah, you know, this will be really exciting. And I think, you know, the fact that the one that they're making here is supposed to be even bigger, and with the state of the world, I guess it's not the worst thing that's going to take a while to be made, because it's that we can go immediately anyway. But yeah, very excited to see what this is. Should be really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someday. It'll be very fun. Doom Eternal now has a release date on the Switch. It's not been canceled. Finally. You can look forward to that coming next week, December 8th. It is a digital-only release. There's no physical release, but it's cool that it's finally coming. It's cool that it's coming so soon. It's going to be about 18.8 gigs. I don't know how it's going to run on Nintendo Switch. I played it on PS4 earlier this year. I don't know. Seth, the Game & Watch can run Doom. Nintendo Switch run Doom Eternal?
I mean, I'm sure it can, but at a very low resolution and probably not a great frame rate. I'm not knocking anybody who wants to play Doom Eternal on their Switch, but I mean, get it on PC. That's the best way to play any first-person shooter.
Hook your Switch up to your PC via USB right now, mm-hmm.
Run faster. Boom. Yeah. Frankenstein it together. Pow.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good idea. That's pro tip right there.
Yeah. It's the Switch monster, actually, not the.
final news update this week. That Cuphead DLC that you've been waiting for has been delayed into 2021 due to issues caused by the pandemic. As so many other things. I don't know. Has any of us actually played Cuphead on Switch?
I played Cuphead on Switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It runs great. Looks good. Feels good. It's Cuphead.
Were you planning on playing the DLC on Switch?
Oh no. Here's the thing about Cuphead. It's a very difficult game and I'm very bad at video games. So I think I played about 3 or 4 levels. And then I said, this is perhaps not for me. And I like Dark Souls, but Cuphead, I reached new levels of fury playing that game. So no, I will not be playing the DLC.
Bowser's Fury specifically.
New levels of Bowser's Fury inside me.
The Zach's inside story.
That's right.
Some highlights of games that are out this week. There's a Taiko Drum Master RPG that completely flew under my radar. Yeah, mm-hmm. Apparently Taiko.
Does Justin Davis know this?
Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythmic Adventure Pack 1 and 2. It's a little bit confusing. Janet, do you even know? Are these two separate downloads, or is it put together into one pack?
I would imagine it'd be. Oh, I would imagine it's put together.
Maybe it was released.
If it's digital, I'm trying to think of like I got a bundle pack with Wakamelee 1 and 2, on cartridge.
It says right here,
go ahead.
It says right here, our notes are available separately for $30 each. So yeah,
there it is.
The 1 and 2 pack is $50, available separately for $30 each. Two Taiko Drum Master RPGs, apparently. Who knew? Mm-hmm. Not any of us. Immortals Fenyx Rising, the latest, the third Ubisoft open world game this year, also comes to Switch this week. IGN gave that a 7, I think.
Yes. It's good.
Yeah. What, have you played it?
Oh, no. That's just what 7 is on our scale. 7 is
I've played a lot of Fenyx Rising. We can get to that when we're through the rest of these releases. But
Okay. The other big release is there's a Fire Emblem game coming out tomorrow that I totally forgot about. The original Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
Localized for the first time, Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light. It's only $6, I believe, and it's one of those limited time releases. It will be disappearing March 31st, 2021. So
bye. I'm very sad. I missed the special edition with the physical, like little Nintendo Power and the cartridge. It was gone.
Surprising.
3 seconds.
I figured you'd be all over that.
I was all over it, and I was unable to get it. I was trying. I don't even like, I'm not really a Fire Emblem person, but I was like, this is the kind of collectible that I need in my life.
Why are you not a Fire Emblem person?
I always think that I will like strategy RPGs, and I don't like strategy RPGs. I like turn-based. It's like JRPGs more. But, you know, I'm not like against it or anything, but
okay, so let me throw some games at you. Final Fantasy Tactics.
You know what? I've never played Final Fantasy Tactics.
Good game. Okay. Good game.
I know.
Mario plus Rabbids.
Okay. That's actually a very good game. And I have played that.
So that it's the exception that proves the rule.
That's true. It's true.
I think you'd like Three Houses, Seth.
I have Three Houses. I started it and then something distracted me. That's what happens every time. I got the one on 3DS too, and I was like, hey, I'll try this. Maybe this will be the one.
Something Maybe this time me. Will be different.
Yep. This time.
Well, I've got $60. Maybe this time it'll be different. Nope.
That's the sound of Seth spending money.
Yep.
I love strategy and tactics game, but I did not play Three Houses because when it was out, everyone was just talking about how they were having tea with people. And that's not as exciting to me as strategy and tactics. So I don't know.
It's never RPT.
Yeah.
The tea is optional. The tea is optional.
That seems everyone is spending a lot of time having tea. And also Fitness Boxing 2.
Yeah.
Rhythm Exercise is out. Is that an actual, like, is that, I don't know if that's like a popular game or series.
Popular enough that it got a sequel.
So. Yeah, I guess so.
Sure. I played the demo Fitness Boxing 1. Honestly, it wasn't that into it. I felt like the rhythm, the problem is that they either didn't have licensed music or they did have licensed music, but it was only like the instrumental and not the lyrics. Once again, it was a while ago. So if that's a little off, don't be like super mad that that's a little off. And that was like my beef with it. Like I felt like they needed, if it was more like just dance, but with an even heavier fitness lean, I would have been more into it. I do think the boxing was pretty solid though. Like they did have you take on like what would be proper form where you're sort of like turned to the side and you have like one fist. You know, it was... The boxing itself was okay, but I didn't think the rhythm was executed well enough to make it an engaging way to work out for me.
Got it. Okay, Zach, you were mentioning that you were playing Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're actually playing on Switch?
So that was the thing I was going to caveat. I got a code for the Xbox Series X version, so I've not played the game on Switch. So all of my feedback and critique, please take with a grain of salt because I've not played it on Switch. I don't know how it runs there, but I've heard that it's probably fine. This is a good game. Cam out of our Australia office reviewed Immortals and gave it a 7. I'm probably closer to like the 8 range, but I'm fully in agreement with a lot of his critique. You know, I think his issue is with like the puzzles in the game because, okay, let's get this out of the gate. Like, Immortals Fenyx Rising is a blatant Breath of the Wild ripoff. Like it is like, and okay, ripoff is maybe a little harsh, homage, if you will. It is very, very similar to Breath of the Wild in an ancient Greek setting. A similar sort of exploration where I think they do a really great job of putting something like just out of reach so that you're seeing something when you are, you know, completing a goal. You're like, oh, what's that over there? Oh, there's a puzzle I can solve. Oh, there's this thing. And the analogy in this game to Breath of the Wild shrines are the vaults of Tartarus. So like you drop into these underground vaults and there's puzzles to solve. A lot of them are like physics-based puzzles. They're not as inventive or original as the puzzles in Breath of the Wild, but clear inspirations being drawn there. I think the combat is really fun. You got a lot of great upgrades. There's a really fun like parry system and dodge system. I think some of the writing is really funny. I also think some of the writing is really corny, so it's kind of hit or miss. It's beautiful on Xbox. I think the art direction will stand up on Switch because it is sort of cartoony looking. But yeah, I'm really enjoying this game, and maybe more so than others because I'm such a huge Breath of the Wild fan and I'm so hungry for more of that kind of thing. And this is, you know, Damon, you were talking about sort of double A games or like B level games earlier. This feels to me like that attempt, right? It's like DreamWorks making Breath of the Wild instead of Pixar. Like it's an interesting game for sure. I'm having a good time with it. And if you love Breath of the Wild, you'll probably like this game quite a bit.
Zach, have you played Assassin's Creed Valhalla?
I played a few hours of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I like what I played there. I've been more excited for Immortals for a while just because it is so close to Breath of the Wild, so reminiscent of it. So when I got my code for Immortals, I just switched over to that.
Sure. Valhalla is the one that I've been spending a lot of time with, and I'm really like stuck into that. So while Immortals is like interesting to me, I can't really see myself just like bouncing out of Valhalla to pick up Immortals anytime soon. Janet, you've been playing Hades?
Yes, I have now spent, yes. I'm trying to see how much time I've spent with it, if my Switch will tell me. I barely started not that long ago, so it might not have it yet. No, it just says first played 10 days ago, which that's a long time to wait to tell me how long I've played it. That's a separate issue that Nintendo will hopefully improve on. I've now beat the first two bosses. That's like the farthest I've gotten in my run. So was it Megan or Meg? And then
Meg.
Whoever is next. Oh, actually, no, I didn't beat the first two bosses because I died at the heads of whatever, that snake thing.
The Hydra. Yeah,
the Hydra. Hydra. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why my camera just glitched out there. But I'm still not, like, I think it's a very great game. Very fun. I'm enjoying it, even though it's like a rogue, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I do really like that you make meaningful character progression, you get more weapons, and it really like adds to the variety of the runs, but also like makes the next run easier because when you've seen more of it, you know, you can use the new tools you've gotten. You can give gifts to your underworld pals. Like, that's cool. There's like, I do like how like the House of Hades opens up over time. Like, I kind of stayed away from all the info of this game until I like had time to play it myself. And seeing those things that I've only kind of heard like whispers of has been very cool. Like, it is a great game. I, however, currently don't think it's like a game of the year contender for me. I think it's just a really great game. Like, I think it's great, but I don't think it's like, it may still end up in my top 10 of the year because, oddly enough, this is going to sound very negative, but it's really hard to make like a fantastic, amazing, you must absolutely play this game. And when I tried to make it, I was trying to make my top 10 for the year, and I was kind of having a hard time fitting 10 that I really felt just deeply, deeply passionate about in terms of games, even though it's been a great year for games. There's been Last of Us 2, there's been Animal Crossing, New Horizons. Like, I think it's a very strong year, Miles, but like, you know, 10 that I really love with no asterisks, not so much, because, you know, not everyone's gonna like every game. Like, I think Final Fantasy VII Remake's a great game, but like, I don't actually like love it. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Not really my style, that kind of thing. So yeah, Hades, it's probably still in my top 10. I think it's an excellent game, but I don't see this being like this mind blowing, you must play. Like, it was, you know, for lack of a more nuanced term, it did feel a little overhyped for me. I do think everyone should try it, because I'd be surprised if someone played it and didn't like it. Like, it's very enjoyable, really satisfying, but it just doesn't feel super special to me. I think it's very well done, but it just doesn't, I don't think I'm going to be thinking about this years later or anything, which is fine. Not every game needs to reach this upper echelon tier of, like, you know, IGN's top 100 list. But yeah, that's my take. I guess a little bit negative compared to most people, but I actually do think it's an excellent game, and I plan to spend a little more time with it because maybe it still hasn't clicked, but I'm guessing that I've seen what I need to see to assess it, and that's kind of where I land on it. And I'm still playing Animal Crossing New Horizons because there's toys there now, and there's a bunch of variants, and it's about to start snowing. Winter in Animal Crossing, I know this because I time traveled for the guide, is beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and there's all these really cool like DIYs that I don't want to spoil in case you haven't seen them yet. So it's always a good time to come back to Animal Crossing, y'all. We are welcome to have you. You can dream surf now. Come on through. It's fun. And then on deck, I have Spiritfarer and Paradise Killer that I want to dig into next, because those are also like, I'm really just trying to run through these like game award level games, especially the smaller ones like Paradise Killer that not as many people have talked about. So hopefully I'll have more to say on those games in the future.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great things about Spiritfarer, but which one is Paradise Killer?
It's a, I think it's characterized as an adventure game. It definitely leans heavily on the visual novel style. And essentially the premise is, there's like these paradises that are like scraped and remade over and over again. And you were previously exiled, but you're like the investigator that's coming to figure out like who murdered the council. This is like within the first few minutes of the game, so it's not really spoilers. So presumably, again, I'm not that far into it, you're going to be talking to people and kind of trying to investigate this murder on this island. Very distinctive, odd, almost like 80s aesthetic art style. Like, it's got a lot of like computery things.
Go on.
Like it's very bizarre. Like, it's the kind of art style that you might either find like, wow, this is kind of unappealing or ugly or not impressive, or you'd be like, whoa, they really went for something like distinctive and weird here. So really too soon to say on that one, but I know a lot of people that really love it, who like those more story-driven games. So We'll see if this is like a sleeper hit that I could maybe, you know, push for if I think it's good enough. So, and Spearfarer is very cute. I barely started it, but I want to spend significant time with it. I'd be surprised if I didn't think that game was also really good.
Love Spearfarer. Great game. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Seth, you're up.
Hey, it's Black Friday season, so I haven't done anything but work. And I...
Quarter four set.
I mean, to be fair, when we're playing video games, that's also working.
Well, I haven't done any of that kind of work. I've been showing people where they can find video games to buy at like some really great prices. But other than that...
What deals are you getting into right now?
Well, I mean, yesterday was the last sort of like breath of that Fortnite Switch availability. Wow. Which
what a mashup. Breath of the Fortnite.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's what we said was going to be the Game Awards. Oh, gosh, so really, you heard it right here first. Mm-hmm. Now, sadly, I missed all of 2XP weekend for Call of Duty. Now I gotta catch up, and it stinks. Wanted that diamond weapon skin for my M16. Oh well.
Seth, you're not fooling anyone. We know you've just been playing Flight Simulator 24 hours a day, nonstop.
I actually have been playing Flight Simulator, but that's not a Nintendo game. And it's, you know, nobody wants to hear me talk about how I went like visual flight rules from Knox County Regional Airport to Bangor International Airport in Maine in real time in full simulation mode where you have to start the engine of the airplane and taxi.
You're right. Nobody wants,
dude, it is the best. Oh my God. I love it so much. What's that?
I was like, well, you shouldn't have called on me if you didn't want to hear some boring stuff. I'm like, this is your time, Seth. You take that mic and you tell us about your God.
Look at this. Look at this throttle quadrant I got from Thrustmaster. Look at that. Huh?
Yeah, I didn't understand almost any of those words, Seth, but you're excited. I'm excited for you. So.
I can go from zero flaps to 30 degrees flaps with all the stops in between 10, 15. It's awesome.
What a time to be alive.
It's amazing.
Bring it all back around again. I bet Microsoft Flight Simulator on Nintendo Switch will be announced at the Game Awards next week. And that brings us to the question block, which I think is checking in with the listeners on NBC. First up, we've got Sam King, who says, since the majority of 2020 was so light on fresh news and releases, do you think we'll get a classic big Nintendo Direct in January or February showcasing Nintendo's 2021 plans?
That would be the dream.
Why not? let's just be nice today and say yes. I think it'll happen. No, in all honesty, I'm gonna say yes. I do feel like there have been, you know, we've talked already about this like a lot on this episode and just in general. It was a bit of a quiet year for Nintendo, and surely they know that, and hopefully they've been planning to have a stronger 2021. And I think, you know, as horrible as this pandemic has been and continues to be, because it does not end with a calendar year, the good thing about 2021 is we now know more what to expect. You know, we've gone through the pandemic for a few months, and we can now like plan our businesses and our personal lives with the pandemic in mind. Even if that is like an unideal plan, you at least know it, versus like in 2020 we were all like blindsided by the pandemic. It disappeared, and then we had
great, it's 2020, woo.
Exactly, right? It was that was exactly the vibe. So I do think and hope that Nintendo will at least have something lined up. I don't know how much of a showstopper it'll be. Maybe it will just be, you know, more of like an indie thing. But some of those indie showcases also really hit, and you end up seeing like really notable ones. I mean, let's not forget that we saw Celeste at one of those showcases. So I do think we'll see something. I don't know how mind-blowing it'll be, but I expect to see something from them, as well as the other, you know, the big three, because we don't really know what anyone's 2021 plans are at this point.
You talk about now we can, or businesses can plan for 2021, just like Warner Brothers just announced, right? They, like, as we started recording the show, Warner Brothers 2021 movies are going to debut on streaming alongside theatrical releases. So
crazy.
Oh, wow.
Zach, that means we're going to be able to stream Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, I know. That was the first thing. That was the first thing that I thought of when I saw that news. I was like, Godzilla in my home. Let's go.
Yeah, for sure. I like this next question from Thomas Pottle. What do you think the next Mario sports game should be?
Hockey.
Mario Hockey is a very good one.
Yeah.
There's Mario so much High fighting line. In hockey, though.
It'd be delightful.
And then, so when they get into a fight, it breaks into Smash Brothers.
There it is. Wow. Do you work for Nintendo? Because that was a great idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was.
Oh, we answered that question.
The next Mario sports game should be Mario Esports, and Mario and his Mushroom Kingdom friends all play League of Legends.
Great. Oh my God.
This is Preston Chase Sharp. Most underrated Nintendo game in your opinion, or a game that is generally negatively received that you actually enjoy?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I think it's tough to come up with underrated Nintendo games.
I'll tell you what. A lot of people don't like The Legend of Zelda 2, but I always really loved that game, even though it is brutally hard, and I never beat it as a kid. I only beat it like 2 years ago, thanks to save states.
Save states. Yep.
Yeah.
Me too.
But I always loved The Legend of Zelda 2, and it's kind of an odd duck.
Yeah.
Super Mario Sunshine. I try to bring that up on the show whenever I possibly can. So this was this week's Super Mario Sunshine reference. Awesome game. I love it. You can finally invert your controls or whatever the hell y'all need to play this game. Yeah, it's great. And I think it's just definitely one of the most underrated Mario games. And it's kind of negatively received in some ways. I think another one, this is just one I don't think is talked about enough. Super Mario Land 2, Six Golden Coins. Did I get that name correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's like one of my favorite Mario games ever, even though I barely remembered the name. Don't judge me. The name was long. it's so good. Like, so many awesome power-ups, weird worlds. You're like in that, there's that weird building that's Mario. Like, there's
Lego Mario. It's great.
There's like the bootleg, like Jason thing with the pumpkins and the knives in the head. Like, it's just such a creative. You fight the three little pigs in that game. Like, y'all are sleeping on that game, even if it has been like talked about somewhat adequately. Like, I think that never really gets brought up, and I absolutely love that game.
Zach?
Man, I've been racking my brain trying to think of an underrated Nintendo game or something it seems like maybe a cop-out, but like, I definitely feel like Luigi's Mansion doesn't get enough recognition. I feel like a lot of people celebrated Luigi's Mansion 3, but man, Luigi's Mansion is secretly one of the best Nintendo franchises, and I think a lot of folks have overlooked it because it's not, you know, a mainline Mario game, or it's not maybe not their cup of tea, but Luigi's Mansion is something special, I think.
Yeah, I actually never played the first one, but I really liked 3. I'll say a game that I don't know if it counts as underrated. People don't talk about it hardly ever, but I think anyone who has experienced it loves it, and that's Donkey Kong 94 for the
Donkey Kong 94. Ooh, that's a good one.
Amazing yeah. puzzle platformer, which would turn into the Mario versus Donkey Kong series. But man, that original.
Yeah, I was gonna actually mention that when you said that Donkey Kong versus Mario is so slept on, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that, and Donkey Kong 64. That's my other answer.
I've never played that one either.
Out of here with that.
No one likes that guy, Seth. Yeah. Come on.
That is. Look, I 100%. I think it's 101%. I got every stupid banana in that whole game. I loved it so much.
I loved Rare, you know, 3D platformers from that era. But I even remember, I think it was IGN's review was like, there's just too much. There's too many collectibles in this game.
Too many bananas.
It just goes on forever. AJ Ordaz asks, what would be the ideal launch date for a Switch Pro?
March. March 2021. Far away from Christmas. Let everybody get them. Or March of any year, basically. Just judging off of how angry people are that they don't have a PlayStation 5 for this Christmas, and how they take it out on me on IGN deals, tell me to go places, which I won't repeat on air.
They get angry at you because you let them know that there's some available here.
No. They get mad when I post something that's not PlayStation 5.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Furious.
Eddie Guzman says he asks you to resurrect an overlooked Nintendo property to bring back, but it has to be a mobile game.
Oh, why? What kind of monkey's paw question is this?
Seriously.
That's no shade to mobile games. Mobile games are great. Has Nintendo made one? I would say no.
I really love Super Mario Run. I thought Super Mario Run was awesome. That was fun.
Yeah. And Nintendo put...
That really felt like a Mario game. Really makes Fire Emblem. Feel like Mario.
Oh, yeah. give us an F-Zero on mobile.
I could see that. Just... tilt controls.
Actually, one that hasn't been around. I guess that's kind of a difficult question because so many of like the mobile things we've seen from Nintendo have been really popular because it's sort of like just expanding what's already a big deal. So like what would be good on that platform? Maybe if form of puzzle game. Like, I know they did try to do Dr. Mario on there, which was fine.
Oh, yeah.
It was fine. Like, you know, a lot of their stuff is okay. So maybe like some form of puzzle game. I'm really partial to that Yoshi puzzle game that also people don't like, the one where you're like plates and like
Yoshi's
pivoting.
Cookie?
Yeah, it's called Yoshi, depending on the region or version or something. Yeah, Yoshi's Cookie, like something like that, I guess, like that's puzzle oriented, because those things I think would do well on mobile. And Nintendo does seem like they're prone to doing mobile from a vertical standpoint, which I think is fair. I think those are some of the best mobile games, are the ones where you don't have to turn your phone sideways or use fake controller buttons. So that would be my pick then for a mobile game, because people already hate it anyway, and I'd have fun with it.
Puzzle's the way to go. I would go with Tetris Attack or Panel to Pawn.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That could totally work on mobile. And finally, Kevin Sella says, when was the last time you were genuinely surprised by a game?
I'm wondering what he means by surprise, like by the quality or a story twist or like a Five Nights at Freddy's jump scare. Like, what sort of surprise are we talking here?
Maybe I'm easily impressed, but I feel like that I'm genuinely surprised by video games just about every time I pick up the controller. Like, I, you know, there's something in most games that I'm impressed with or surprised by. You know, I feel like I have that sort of oh wow kind of moment like pretty often. We mentioned Spiritfarer earlier, but that was the first thing that jumped in my mind. Spiritfarer really surprised me this year, just in first of all fidelity. Like, that game looks like a traditionally animated animated movie. Like, it's absolutely gorgeous to look at, but also just the way that it's written, the story is really moving, and I was really surprised at just how much it you know kind of tagged me in the emotional aspect of it. But
yeah, for me I would say the last time I was genuinely surprised was yesterday, because I I'm also surprised all the time. Yesterday I played Superliminal. I did play it on PS5. It's a PS4 game, and on Switch as well, so you can play it on Switch. I'd assume it runs fine, because it's not exactly graphically or performance intensive anyway. It's a puzzle game where you are manipulating objects. It's all about perception, so like if you pick up something and like move it in a certain way, you can make it really big or really small, and you can manipulate like space like that, or turn a certain way, now you can go through the door because it's now visible as a door, that kind of thing. It's a puzzle game. It's very Stanley's Parable, Portal in its tone. And that surprised me, in the sense that, not that it was necessarily good, it was a very good game and I expected it to be, but it has a lot of like interesting twists on what you're doing. So without giving away too much, like one example, like you spend a lot of time like picking up blocks, and at one point, like I went to interact with a block and it just fell apart, and I was like, oh, okay. So like for me, when I think genuine surprises, yes, there are like, oh, this is a sleeper hit or whatever, but for me it's when I'm not expecting something to work, but it does, or I'm expecting one result, but I get a different result. And I really like those moments in games, because I think so often games can become very predictable. And the more we play games, the less, I think, the harder it is to be amazed or impressed or surprised, because we've seen so much, right? No one's surprised when there's something behind a waterfall anymore, if you've played a lot of games, because there almost always is. And it's disappointing if there isn't. But it's really nice when you have those small moments of whimsy and wonder, where you didn't know you could do a thing, or you didn't know this feature existed. And that's something that like I really appreciate in games. So yeah, that was the last example that I can think of.
I also want to add that I was genuinely surprised when my PlayStation 5 showed up on time.
Yeah,
pleasantly surprised.
That's right.
Seth, any surprises for you?
Yeah, it was when I was able to land on the dirt airstrip.
I knew it was gonna be
in my hometown of North Haven, Maine. Yeah, that whole game is probably the most mind-blowing video game experience I've had since Psycho Mantis used telekinesis to make my controller vibrate and then read the contents of my memory card in Metal Gear Solid. So
you like Castlevania, don't you?
That's a good one. Now I feel like I gotta play that game, but I just don't have time.
Wait, Flight Simulator?
Yes.
Oh, you take the tutorials. It's like a little 5-minute, you know, lesson, like how to take off, how to do a flight pattern, how to land. It's
sort of selling me on it. Damn.
It'll hook you.
On this other show that I host, GameScoop, we always end the show with a round of video game 20 questions. It's the only way I know how to podcast. So If you guys are game, if you guys are.
Oh my God. I was just watching I Have a Secret, old reruns of that 1950s game show, which is the same idea where panelists ask questions to find out what the guest's secret is. So the guest.
A lot of questions about why you're watching that show.
Because it's so charming. And they give them $80. They give the contestant $80 and a carton of Winston cigarettes when they win.
Oh my God. That's amazing. All right, if you guys are up for it, we can play.
Yes. Oh my God, I love 20 questions.
I love the surprise twist.
If any of our viewers or listeners aren't familiar, it's just 20 questions, but the answer will be a video game, and our panelists have 20 yes or no questions to get there. This suggestion comes from Alan Corey in Casper, Wyoming. Let the questioning begin.
Question number one: did this appear exclusively on a Nintendo platform?
Yes.
All
is
right.
Before Nintendo the year 2000. Yeah,
before 2000, yes.
Okay, so was this... is this a Super Nintendo game?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a first-party game?
No.
Okay. Is this... Oh, sorry.
Zach's really taking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, man. It's about getting the win. I don't care how we get there. Sometimes you still have a wrong shoe. That's fine. See, now it's just silence. Okay, let's see.
The Super Nintendo.
Does this game have multi? Wait, no. I don't know if I want to ask that. I feel like it might not. It's third party.
It's worth asking, I think.
All right, I'll ask it. Does this game have multiplayer?
No. That's fine.
Okay. It's a single player game. Not first party on Super Nintendo. Well, I mean, there's only like what? 1200 games for Super Nintendo,
right.
So
easy.
We should get a 1 in 1200 chance.
Should we try to narrow down the genre?
Yeah, that's yes. Okay. Ask
a genre question.
Is this a platformer?
No.
Okay. So that's 700 games.
Is it an RPG?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, dude, go for it.
Is it a square right RPG?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
You know what is your idea for this game? Do you have an idea in mind specifically?
No, but I'm narrowing it down now.
There's only like basically Final Fantasy 2, Final Fantasy 3, Chrono Trigger, right. Secret of Mana. That's like pretty much it. Is it an action RPG?
Yes.
Okay. An action RPG.
So then
but
it's like,
but it doesn't have multiplayer, so it's not Secret of Mana.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's going to be Chrono Trigger. Was the art direction by Akira Toriyama?
I don't know. That one won't count.
Do you time travel in this game?
I think technically yes. That's 10.
Okay. Whoa. Was this a worldwide release?
No.
Aha! Oh. See, now we start. What number is that? 11?
Yep.
Yes.
Was this a Super Famicom game?
No.
Oh.
So it's like one of those. It's like a Europe. If it's not a worldwide. Wait. It wasn't on Super Famicom, but it was on Super Nintendo. So that could be.
Well, okay. So we were. Okay. So here's the deal. I was assuming it was a Square game. Did I ask if it was a Square game?
No.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. You did,
and it was.
Okay.
Really? It was. Oh.
So it's a Square game from Japan only? Maybe?
No, because it wasn't on Super Famicom.
It'd be from Japan.
Oh, right.
But the region so actually helped you.
It has to be a Western.
What game did Square only release in the West?
That was an action RPG.
Action RPG.
For the Super Nintendo. Oh my God. I love that there's so many listeners who are like,
the answer. Yeah.
Seriously. Screaming it.
Is it part of a franchise?
No.
Like an established question. Franchise.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
So it's a one off action RPG by Square released only in the West. This can only be like one of three games, right? Like that's, man. It's not a Final Fantasy game. It's not.
I can't remember. What is that Final Fantasy game in the West? They eventually released it as Final Fantasy Easy Mode in
You're thinking of, I think you're thinking of Final Fantasy Adventure, but it's not a franchise game, Damon said. So
it wouldn't be
Final Fantasy.
Man, this is tough.
Let's just go alphabetically. Does it start with a letter?
Like, the SNES was my first console ever, and I had like three games for Mario Man 64.
This is a pretty deep cut.
I was five.
Yeah. Deep cut challenge. I don't really know where to go from here.
I
don't know what game it could be.
An action RPG from Square that was not released in Japan.
Was it released only in America?
That's a question you're asking me. Was it released only in America? No.
Okay.
So Europe too.
What the hell? I didn't even know that. Yeah, that could be one of those.
Was it released only in Europe?
Was this game well received?
Yes. That's 15.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know where to go from here. I'm stumped.
Like, I'm going through my mind of like all the Square, and I'm like, no, because it's an action RPG. Only released. Oh, this is gonna kill me too when it's finally revealed. I wasted all my time learning about like Japanese only Square Enix RPGs.
Yeah. When we talked about more RPGs before, we could use the hack. Was it mentioned on this before?
Yeah.
Just as a general, just to let everybody know, I don't try to pick things that will definitely stump you. I pick things
further complicating it, because like I feel like it's obviously something that's well known enough as a Square release. It's a notable release. It must be, but
this is not a question. Was Secret of Mana released on SNES? Is that an SNES game?
Yes,
it is. Yeah. But it's multiplayer because you can play three players. Mm-hmm.
And that's the
Seiken Densetsu 2 in Japan.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, that is the extent of what I have to offer you.
We have five more questions. We might as well just use some burners.
I think we got a fold.
Yeah, we're just going to filibuster our way out of that. We have to at least use the questions.
Yeah, we got
to
use them up.
Because they don't roll over. So
let's ask the code breaker here. Have we mentioned the game on the show?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Well, that didn't help at all.
So we haven't even talked about it in this deliberation time.
Has the game ever been re-released?
I don't think so.
That doesn't help at all.
Is this game in IGN's top 100 games?
Ooh, good question.
I don't know I'd have to look it up. I don't know.
And you look it up.
All right, you're at 16.
16. What?
Yeah, trust us. No more questions isn't really going to help us. I just want it to seem like we tried.
Yeah, we got to use them all up. We got to exhaust.
You're going to give me that effort.
I got this on question. I got once on question like 19, and it was just a shot in the dark, and it was one of the proudest moments of my professional career. What game did Square put out only in the West that was an action RPG? Why does this not like ring any bells? That seems so notable.
Yeah. Especially for the SNES.
Yes, because I, you know, during that era, I only associated Square with Japanese role-playing games. I didn't associate them with anything else. So this is killing me.
Do you want to use the top 100 games question?
Yes.
I feel like it's a leading question, but I will still use it. Anything else? I'm guessing the answer is no, but I will still use it.
No, it is not on our top 100 games.
Okay. Damn.
You have one more question and a guess.
Tactics Ogre came out in the US, right, Seth? Or in Japan, right, Seth? Was that an SNES game, or was that?
That was.
It was.
But it didn't come out in the US, or did it?
Did it? I don't know.
That's a good one to just guess for our Hail Mary.
Yes, go for it.
Is it a tactics game?
No.
Well, so, it's an action RPG. Yeah, that's a stupid question. Okay.
You have a guess, and I'll give you a hint. Okay. You used the hack. You haven't mentioned this game, but you have said half of this game's name.
Oh my god.
So, with that, are there any guesses?
Not all at once.
I can reveal it to you if we're...
Yeah, you got it. You got to tell us. I don't know what this is.
It is Secret of Evermore.
Oh!
Who could forget? No, I have no idea.
I never would have guessed that.
I never.
I was surprised to learn
that. You're welcome for the first half of the name.
It was not released. It was not released in Japan, only in the US and in Europe. Yeah.
That's crazy.
What was the name of the person who sent that in?
Alan Corey in Casper, Wyoming.
Alan Corey, you get $80 and a carton of Winston cigarettes.
No, that was really fun. I'm kind of surprised that we didn't get it, considering I feel like what a strong start it was.
Yeah.
Followed by a very weak middle and end. So that is
unbelievable. As for the time travel thing, you're like a boy in our world with this dog, and you get sucked into another world. But you're just moving through periods of our history. So I think it's still technically time travel.
Yeah, it says it was canceled for Japan.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That's crazy.
It's a great game, 1995. Yeah.
It's funny that you're like, you know, I don't pick these to stump y'all. And I know it was meant to make it seem like you weren't being mean, but it just made us feel extra dumb. It's like, I thought that y'all would be okay.
I'm embarrassed that 20 questions comes to NVC and we didn't get it. I mean, Frank.
But that was a good one.
Edit it out.
we'll just cut it out. It's fine. Yeah. Well, like, thanks for being good sports. Thanks for getting good sports. Thanks for letting me sit in and host NVC this week. If you want to hear, you already heard this listener's questions. This is the second little outro that we're recording. Anyway, to submit your own questions, write to us at nvc@ign.com or respond to our weekly question block post on the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast forums on Facebook. Thank you to Janet. Thank you to Seth and Zach. My name is Damon. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. And we'll see you guys next week on Nintendo Voice Chat.
Get the thing.
Get the thing.
Get it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.